You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
We are back for another part of the Fermented Fun series. We had some great feedback on episode one. People really enjoy fermentation, which is why it's fun.
Yes.
We're back for more. Erin, what do you have for us today?
This time we are focusing on sourdough.
Yes.
Fermenting the grains.
Ooh.
Oh.
And baking them. So not drinking them. So
that's a different episode.
There are fermented grains could go two ways. We're taking it, look, go even more than two ways, but we are focusing in on sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my first question for you.
Okay.
What are the words that come to mind when you think about making sourdough?
Cultural phenomenon.
Okay.
Taylor Swift. She loves sourdough. I don't know.
Dead pet.
Okay.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Oh. Uh-huh.
Starter.
Okay. Yeah. I'd been thinking of it and I was like intimidating, finicky.
Yep.
Obsessive.
Yes.
These, based on the, you know, little exploration I have done with it, that seems to be the impression that it's easy to get from a lot of groups that focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whew, they're like, this is your 37-step process.
Yeah. Well, and I use the word pet very reasonably here, because when I have had a sourdough starter, it requires approximately the same care and maintenance as a goldfish.
Mm.
And so it qualifies, I think, closer to a house pet than a house plant.
Agreed. I actually have in like the next thing I was going to, I'm like, a sourdough starter is essentially what I call a refrigerator pet.
Nice.
It's a pet. It's a creature that you are maintaining and feeding, and
alive technically.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yep.
And I say dead because I only keep a starter alive when I know that I'm going to be in one place for long enough. I do not trust my husband or my children
mm-hmm.
with my sourdough starter.
Right.
So if we move
right.
or if I'm going to be out of town for a month or mm-hmm. whatever, I will often just say, farewell, dear starter. We'll try again some other time.
Yes. Yeah, so sourdough, it is a broad category of sourdough. The things you make with sourdough is very broad. And by far the most common thing that people make with sourdough is loaves of bread.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the by far the most common thing that is out there. The
group's
obsessed with it. I love sourdough bread. I do.
A nice, crusty artisan loaf.
I know. Mm-hmm. The tang of it. I love
the crumb.
So delicious.
Good stuff.
That said, I don't make sourdough bread. So that's why I'm like, it is actually broader than you think. And that's, I don't make it mainly because, I mean, I live alone, and committing to a whole loaf of bread, that's a fairly big commitment. And while I can absolutely honor that commitment, I find that it's really better for me to not have making bread as a major hobby for myself.
That is true. I take a hiatus from bread baking anytime I know my husband is coming up on a fitness check-in for the Navy, because it's so good. It's so hard, and it's so hard to say no to, and it's so carby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I probably would get into bread baking more if I had more people in my life that were like, let me eat this bread and, you know, share it and so forth. But that's okay. So I did, though, take up a sourdough sub hobby. I'm in the subculture of sourdough.
Oh.
And that is pizza making.
Yeah.
So I did take up almost three years ago now, 2 years ago. Anyway, doesn't really matter. Nobody cares how long ago, but not that long ago. I took up pizza making on a summer vacation. I went to a bookstore. One of the greatest things to do on a vacation is go to a bookstore. And
that's true.
I found a cookbook that was called Pizza Night, and it was filled with recipes for making pizza. And I love pizza. And I thought, I'm getting this cookbook. And then as I read the cookbook, I was like, oh, I'm getting myself a pizza oven. Now, I did. I got myself a pizza oven, but I didn't. I was very strict, and I got a very entry-level pizza oven that can sit on my counter because I knew I wasn't going to make pizza if I had to go outside every time I wanted to make it, which is the most common type of pizza oven. I was like, that's just not going to happen. That's not who I am. So I got a countertop pizza oven, and I love it. I'm very happy with it. And at some point, it'll break. But until then, I don't feel any need to upgrade. I researched initially, and I was like, no, you may not start at the top for this hobby that who knows you might abandon after, you know, just one or two attempts. But I haven't abandoned it. I have enjoyed it. And I also still, I'm going to stick with this oven. It's a great oven. Eventually, I'll upgrade when it dies. But it's a delight. So as I made it, I decided from the beginning that I was like, I want to make my pizza dough with sourdough. I'm going to make sourdough pizza dough.
Yes.
And the thing about sourdough is, like, the first thing you have to do is obtain a starter.
Mm-hmm.
You can make them from scratch, but I didn't want to do that. So I instead called went to my local restaurant that makes sourdough pizza dough, and I was like, hey, can I have some of your sourdough pizza dough?
So you are so bold, and I love it.
They gave it to me. They gave me this amount, and they're like, sure, here you go. And it was like a tablespoon's worth, but that's all you need.
Yeah, right.
And so I had a viable starter to begin with.
That is the most Aaron thing to do.
So I got this starter, and I have named mine because, yeah, it's a pet.
Yes.
Although now suddenly I'm like, I don't know. Is it a pet? Is it a civilization? For now, I'm going to stick with it as a pet. But who knows, if I someday need a new starter, maybe I'll name it the name of a civilization.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
But this is Giacomo.
Giacomo.
Is my starter, inspired by the song that I grew up with as a kid in New Orleans, Giacomo Finanè.
I heard that one.
Yeah.
Giacomo is a character in The Count of Monte Cristo, too.
I mean, it's a legit name.
Yeah. We just watched that recently. That's the only reason I know.
Okay.
So, great name.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to obtain starter, and then you have to keep it alive. Now,
yes,
here is the first piece of encouragement for those of you out there. This, because I'm not speaking as an expert. So those of you out there who are sourdough experts already, you're going to be able to chime in with far more advanced advice for people. You're not getting advanced advice today. But for those of you out there who are like, I love the idea of starter, but it's intimidating and it's finicky and it looks really complicated. So I'm going to tell you the beginner advice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Keep it coming. Because even though I've done this a couple of times, I feel like I've done it very wrong.
Yeah.
And so I want to hear from you.
So, yeah.
The basics.
Right. So here's what I have learned. The first starter I got is still the starter I have. Okay. So okay. I've been doing it now for a couple of years. It's still the same starter. Like he's a little older, he's a little wiser, but you know, it's still Giacomo.
It's still Giacomo.
Okay.
I love it.
He is my refrigerator pet. Okay. He does not get fed twice a day. There are definitely those like out there, the sourdough people who are feeding their starters twice a day or once a day. He gets fed when I want to make pizza. Okay. I'm like, wake up from hibernation, Giacomo. It's time to work. And then he goes back into the refrigerator until I'm ready to make another pizza. And I make pizza like once every, I don't know, a few months. So I'm not feeding this dude on the regular. Okay. He is fine. He's fine. You don't have to. This is a sourdough myth. And yeah, he's fine. I just, when I want to make sourdough, I pull him out of the fridge and I give him a nice little feeding to perk him up. And then I usually do it twice. So I feed him once and then I'm like, okay, now you've woken up. Now let me feed you again. And then I'm ready to use it.
Okay, that's really good advice, because I can tell you that if you are the feed it every day on the counter type of person, that only works if you're baking at least 4 loaves
exactly.
a week.
Yes, exactly.
Which my family loved while it was going on, but about wore me out.
Yeah.
Keeping up with that pet.
I mean, indeed, if you have a family and you're like, I need a loaf of bread every day or every, you know, 2 loaves of bread a day, a week or whatever it is, like you can totally maintain it on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
However, you can also very easily just keep them in the fridge until you actually want to do this. And then you pull them out and you do have to remember a little bit in advance, but this is true of bread baking in general. You can't, it's not a spur of the moment thing. You need some advanced planning. So usually the night before I want to make my dough is when I pull Giacomo out. I'm like, here you go, little buddy. Have a little snack. And then the next morning, then I give him another one and then I'm ready to go. So then.
All right.
Yeah. So you don't need to feed him that often at all. Here is myth number 2.
All right.
Okay. So they're always like, you got to discard. You only have to discard if you're feeding them so much that you have way too much starter to use. If you just make enough to use and then leave enough that you're going to put back in hibernation, there's no real reason to have much of any discard. I mean, this is Aaron's philosophy, and there's the experts out there are going to be like, this is outrageous. I'm just telling you. For the pizzas that I've made for the past few years, they just keep, they're tasty as can be. And I have very, very little discard. I do have some because I have to feed them twice. So if I didn't have to feed them twice, then I probably wouldn't have any discard. But since I put mine in hibernation for like 3 months at a time in between pizzas, I do feed them twice. If I didn't have to feed them twice, I wouldn't have any discard. I would just add enough to feed them up, and then I know how much I need to take out for my batch, and what remained is what goes back in the fridge until the next time, and it would be a zero-sum game, okay? Mm-hmm. However, that said, discard, there are some tasty uses for sourdough discard, but really, you only have it because you want to have sourdough discard, and some people just really enjoy the things you can make with the discard. So the discard is the fermented dough that you aren't going to use to actually bake bread. Okay. It's the stuff that's already fermented and yet you don't need it because you only need so much to make a given loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. And so you have to throw away. And some people are like, oh, you have to discard because otherwise it'll get just outrageously sour. And no, it doesn't get outrageously sour, at least not on the small scale that I make. It seems like it's just fine. But what I have enjoyed making with sourdough discard, one, I have added it to one of my beloved special occasion weekend meals. And that is the Dutch baby pancake.
Oh, really? That sounds intriguing to me. I love Dutch babies.
Yes. So sourdough discard is essentially flour and water in equal parts. So if you want to use it in something, you just substitute it for like an equal amount of flour and water that would be flour and liquid that would be in that particular thing you're making. You just decrease the flour you'd put in your muffins and decrease the liquid and add some of your discard and voila, you've got sourdough muffins or cookies.
Sourdough cookies are so good.
Yeah. So I put it in my Dutch baby and I felt it made for a very delicious Dutch baby pancake. And I'm probably making one this weekend because I have a reminder on my calendar every year for Memorial Weekend. I make a sourdough this year, a Dutch baby pancake with strawberry and rhubarb compote.
Ooh.
I accidentally made it twice in a row on the same Memorial Weekend and then discovered it on Facebook when it showed me my memories. And I was like, oh, look, last year on Memorial Day, I had the same breakfast.
Now it's a tradition.
And I was like, well, I guess how it is. So now I added it as a calendar reminder that every year for Memorial Weekend, I make a Dutch baby pancake.
So
and
funny.
And yes.
Full disclosure, we're recording in May. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You're right.
It's
so
the
you're
Thursday
listening
before
to this
Memorial
a little
Day
later that you're hearing about it. But anyway, yeah. The Dutch baby is a delicious way to use some sourdough. Now, don't use it. Don't go crazy. Like it's an accent ingredient. Okay. Mm. So don't just substitute full amount or, I mean, if you want to just be aware, you'll have to probably want to taste it a little as you go and be aware if your recipe does call for something like baking powder or baking soda, you might particularly there want to use a little bit of caution with how much. You can certainly add some, but you might use a little caution of how much you want to add because those are both ones that are going to be activated, especially by acidity. Mm-hmm. And if you're adding sourdough, that might throw off the pH level of whatever you're adding.
So you add the sourdough starter with these live active yeast cultures.
Yeah.
A leavening agent. And then the acidity from the sourdough makes the baking powder go crazy. And suddenly you've got something that is a monster taking over your kitchen.
I mean, you've created
because
a monster.
Food is chemistry.
It is chemistry. But the Dutch baby has just, it's leavened with eggs. And so it's okay.
Yes.
You don't need to be afraid.
One of the most easiest, most visually stunning breakfasts you can ever make.
It's true. My cousin loves to make, and in fact, she likes to make this with her. This is her primary thing she makes with sourdough is actually sourdough crackers. So she basically makes sourdough discard and turns them into crackers. She doesn't bake the bread, but they're very delicious.
Huh?
Very delicious. They're thin. They're thin. It's a classic cracker like you'd imagine buying from like a fancy gourmet store.
Look at that.
Little thin little tiny crispy sourdough cracker. So lots of solid options.
I have heard of using discard in sourdough pancakes. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
And I would think that would be one that I think I would use a little bit of because sourdough pancakes are absolutely, I mean, the pancake, unless it's a recipe that calls for it to be sourdough pancakes, in which case they've already sort of calculated.
Yeah.
Pancakes are traditionally leavened with baking powder, right?
Yep. There's that monster scenario again.
Exactly. So use a little caution. However, I have absolutely heard about this, and I'm sure that there are recipes that are already basically calculated for you to use a sourdough pancake. And honestly, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, almost some of the flavor palette of like a buttermilk pancake with just a little bit of extra tang.
Yes.
I can imagine it.
Everyone hungry during this episode. Uh-huh. You're welcome for planning your next week of meals.
if you are lucky enough to have a sourdough starter. In which case, sorry, out of luck, find a friend.
Somebody you know, I'm sure has a starter.
Or just find yourself a local bakery that makes sourdough and ask them, hey, could I have a little bit of starter?
Don't be afraid.
So
be like Aaron.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, my guess is the majority of people that would ask them, it's not like they're losing customers. I still go to that pizza place and eat their pizza because I love it. So it's not like they're like, ooh, if we give this to you, you won't come and be our customer anymore. Most people are going to try it and then they're going to give it up. So I think they're going to go ahead and just give it to you. So just ask them nicely. Don't ask on a busy, you know, don't ask on Saturday morning at the bakery.
You know, and make sure you buy something while you're in there.
Yes.
Or preferably go to a place that you already have an established relationship.
Yes.
Even Aaron, I know that you are a regular and a favorite at many local establishments.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know you. They love you.
Exactly. So I pursued the pizza making. And as I continued, I wanted, one of the things that I decided I wanted to do was I wanted to figure out what is my ideal amount of dough to make for a single personal pan, not pan, a personal pizza. And not the, I was like, if I'm going to do this, I want to figure it out and scale it down to the amount I actually want for myself to enjoy a pizza for supper. And that meant an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh boy.
Okay. Well, actually it's a sheet spreadsheet, but
I thought you were going to, that is not how I thought that sentence was going to end. I thought that sentence was going to end with that ended with a lot of pizza.
Yes.
But no, an Excel spreadsheet. Honestly, it checks out.
I mean, there were experiments along the way to sort of scale it down to the size that I wanted. But once I did that, one of the things that bread baking is known for is the percentages approach, the baker's percentage, wherein you declare that the amount of flour is whatever it is, that's your like baseline that everything is scaled off of. So if you have a percentages chart, then you can scale it up or down however you like. Mm-hmm. It's super easy. And so I was like, I'm going to make me a spreadsheet for pizza dough. And then when I have a party, I can just say, here's how many servings I want to make, and it will just scale it up for me.
Beautiful.
This involves using a kitchen scale for measuring. So I don't use measuring cups for this. I instead measure everything with a scale in grams.
Far more accurate.
But it's super easy. And yeah, so I came up with my ideal serving size of a pizza. And even though I love pizza, it is significantly smaller than the typical single pizza dough recipes that are out there, which one, they're often actually intended to make multiple lumps of dough because they're like, oh, you're probably going to be making this for a crowd. No, not making it for me. and two, they're generous. They're a generous serving. And I was
American
like,
serving sizes.
Yeah.
I like those recipes because whenever I bother to make pizza, it is for a crowd.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have sometimes made them. So I will occasionally, like during the Christmas, New Year's vacation, I will declare a series of like the first night of pizza, the second night of pizza. The third night of pizza, but I don't think I've ever gotten more than four nights of pizza, and they were never back-to-back nights of pizza because that's a lot.
That is a lot.
But still, it's not like, it's not a whole pan. It's a single serving of it, but still, you get weary of it. You do get weary of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
After a while. So, but you can make it. The nice thing about the dough also is that it does enjoy, like it can continue to sort of relax in the fridge for quite some time before you use it, and can actually get more tasty as it bulk refrigerates. So yeah, cold ferments. There it is. Cold ferments, bulk, something else. Anyway, cold ferments in the fridge over the course of several days is a great way. So pizza is my preferred way, and it does make a very delicious, chewy crust, very flavorful.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoy it. Before we go like completely off the deep end with pizza talk, though, have you guys done any of your own sourdough adventures at any point through the years? Hmm. Rachel, I know you said you've killed a lot of sourdough pets.
Yeah, I've had at least three. The first one was kind of a trial and error kind of thing. I did not let it get fully established before it went in the fridge, and that turned out to be a mistake. Then the next couple, I had I think two that were quite successful. They, you know, big family, and I had a lot of time on my hands, relatively speaking, at the time. So they lived on my counter, and I don't think I ever bothered with discard, because I would just let them get nice and big.
Yep.
And then I would bake. And then whatever was left over would be about, you know, an inch in the bottom of the mason jar.
Love it.
And start over again.
Uh-huh.
And when the jar got full, then it was time to bake.
Uh-huh.
That was really fun for a while, because I was, like I said, I was baking a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Two, like, round loaves every time. The family just loved them. And now I'm thinking, oh, I should do that again. I like sourdough because it's a little bit of a denser bread. And if you have any sensitivity to yeast, that can be less so with sourdough. Of course, my starters were never, I don't know. I had trouble getting a full rise on just starter. I usually augmented with refrigerator yeast.
Okay.
Which is an option you can do. Sure. If you are finding that your bread just is not rising to your satisfaction, you know, use half starter, half yeast.
Mm-hmm.
That I had very good success with, and the family was very satisfied.
Yeah.
I have not started a new starter since we moved to Virginia almost 2 years ago.
Okay. So,
but I'm just getting ready for a long vacation, so this conversation is not coming at a very opportune time for me. I have all the inspiration to get back into it, because it really was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my pet, but I absolutely do not entrust pets to the family members that get left behind when I go away for a while. Yeah. So maybe when I get back home and can be here for a while, I will enjoy that again.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it is a fun thing to do for me in the wintertime when I don't mind turning on my oven fairly regularly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the summer, when it's 95 degrees and 95% humidity here in Virginia, the sourdough can be screaming at me from the counter saying, bake me, bake me. And I will say, no.
No, thank you.
Yes.
No, I don't think so. There are some kind of fermented foods that do better in this sort of climate, but anything requiring the oven to be turned on is not one of them.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed it. I'd love to get back into it. Never did try all those recipes for crackers and pancakes and pizza and Dutch babies. I'm very intrigued by the Dutch baby.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe when I jump back into it, I will enjoy that more. I did start during the pandemic, but I waited until it had almost run its course.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic sourdough craze. I was like, I'm going to wait till most people are over this and then I'll jump in. So that it doesn't look like I'm just jumping on the bandwagon.
No.
I totally jumped on the bandwagon, though. It was a fun ride. Very fun ride.
Yeah.
Luther,
what about you?
Luther has told me that we've done sourdough.
Oh.
I don't remember this.
Uh-huh.
But apparently at some point in our marriage, we did sourdough. He would have been the one to do it, because we had a bread machine.
Yeah.
And we were making bread. Yeah. I do remember that. That was like 15 years ago.
Okay.
I mean, I can't eat bread at the moment. Luther buys sourdough. He does love it, but we haven't actually made sourdough in a very, very long time. My closest experience is my sister-in-law. She is one that bakes, I think, every day.
Wow.
They have six kids. They go through a lot of bread. She makes sourdough pizza dough.
Uh-huh.
They love it. So she's always got her starter. And she does bake sourdough all the time. So this is very much a lifestyle choice for her, and it works very well, and she loves doing it. So every time we go visit, I I experience the sourdough lifestyle.
Yes.
Vicariously with
it. It is. It's a lifestyle.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the kids love it. My husband loves it because he gets fresh baked bread too, which we don't really ever have. Yeah. I do love sourdough. I just can't eat it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly.
Yeah.
That's it.
Here's a question. Do either of you know, do you remember from back in maybe the 80s or 90s? It might go further back, but I remember it from my childhood. Do you remember friendship bread?
Yes.
Was that?
Yes, it was like the chain letter of breads. Yeah, I'm fairly sure it was just sourdough.
Except,
but it was a sweeter bread.
Exactly. Like it wasn't like, it was more like a quick, it was like a sourdough quick bread.
Yeah, I am Googling this right now. I had forgotten all about that.
I only remembered it this moment.
Amish friendship bread.
Yes.
What?
Yes, I don't know how it would involve a starter, but it did.
And then you had to give it away because otherwise you had too much. So it has to be some sort of fermented.
I'm pretty sure someone gave one to my mother at some point. I'm pretty sure it did not last long. My mother is a very, very good baker, but she has, there is none of the romance of the sourdough lifestyle in her. So I don't remember if it ever survived even long enough to do it. But yes, you're right. I'm looking at it now. We will link to this in the show notes if I remember.
Yes.
But Amish friendship bread is sweet cinnamon flavored bread made from a sourdough style starter that is shared among friends, creating a continuous baking chain.
Wow.
But what do you do when all your friends has an Amish friendship bread starter?
Yeah, that's
you have a problem.
These things eventually like run out.
But I remember that it came in a Ziploc baggie and it had some sort of like either handwritten or printed instructions that came with it.
Yeah.
That you were supposed to feed it, let it rest. Yeah. There was a whole calendar for care.
It's like the MLM of baking.
It is.
Thank you for that memory, Erin. I had forgotten.
Now I like have like the flavor. I can remember the flavor of like the cinnamon. Yeah. It was okay.
There's a fascinating little NPR article on it that I'm browsing right now because I don't really remember this, but apparently it was probably in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's such a 90s thing. Along with, Sarah, you mentioned bread machines. I remember when everybody got bread machines, including my grandma, who's a perfectly good baker.
My grandmother also had a bread machine and used it for years. She very diligent. I mean, they made bread for many a year. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm reading through the instructions for this and it is a multi-day process, but mash the bag. Day 3, mash the bag. Day 4, mash the bag.
It's all coming back to me. I do remember this mash so clearly.
That is amazing. Okay, yeah.
That sounds right.
Maybe we need to develop our own version of this. We'll call it Lutheran friendship bread.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll be praised and hated in equal parts.
as opposed to current reality.
So,
I don't have the creativity for that. Yeah. Erin, if you have it, bring it on.
Let's see. So the only other thing I will share links to my pizza dough recipe out there that would like to follow my pizza dough recipe. And I'll include a link. I'll somehow figure out how to make my link to my pizza dough calculator. I'll make a public link for that. So
is there a macro involved or just a
no, but there are
just formulas.
There are built-in formulas. But I don't think they're macros. I don't believe I know how to do macros.
Okay, that's all right. Formulas are cool enough. They're like magic
formulas. Yes.
Erin's done the work for you already. Exactly. Just plug in your numbers.
Exactly.
And
they'll
tell you what to do.
The it's only amazing. Other thing that I have chosen to do, mainly because I thought it sounded cool. I liked the idea of it without having any idea what it would be. But I decided this before I even tried it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to feed my starter with rye flour. And I've continued to do that because I thought it sounded kind of awesome.
Ah.
And
does the starter like the rye flour?
it seems to love it. So my starter is fed only with rye flour.
Okay.
Dark rye flour.
Aaron, could you get any cooler?
I know. It's very, very punk rock.
It's a dark and brooding starter.
Yes. Giacomo just makes so much more sense right now.
He loves the dark rye. Yeah.
You know, the rest
of the pizza flour is not. But that way I think it sounded cool because I hadn't tasted it or anything. And I was like, I'm using rye before I even tried anything. If it had gone wrong, I would have abandoned it. But he seems to love the rye flour. So I've just continued with it.
Now, if you feed Giacomo all purpose flour, he will look at you and
be like, I'm a scowl. I'm a starter from the old world. I need the rye.
I need the dark rye.
I can't have this feeble white American stuff. I need the dark rye. Yeah. Anyway, so I feed my starter with dark rye flour and water. Apparently, there's things it's more forgiving than you'd expect. There is somebody out there, I just read about it, who they've maintained their starter for years with flour, as you might expect, and milk.
Interesting.
They've fed their starter with milk.
Never heard of that.
I haven't either, but it's very intriguing.
Huh.
So I bet that makes for some very interesting flavors.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is more forgiving than you would think. So it is, as you research it, if you're looking at some of the different sourdough groups, they're very, very particular, and they're very much like, this is the only way to have success. But as with many hobbies, I find that it's actually, as long as you are willing to be a beginner and you don't expect to have perfection from the beginning, it's quite accessible to the beginner to just wade in and try something. And it's also a pretty, well, if you're buying a pizza oven, it's not a low cost hobby. But if you are just using an oven you already have, then all you have to buy is flour. And honestly, flour is a pretty cheap hobby.
Yeah. Well, and the quality of the bread you get out is so amazing. I know that my grocery store is selling sourdough for like $5.99 a loaf these days.
Yeah.
And it may even get cheap white bread for a lot less than that. But if you want the good stuff,
exactly,
you can save a lot of money by making it yourself.
Yeah. But also, as you're learning, like, you're not going to burn through lots of money, again, if you don't buy a pizza oven. But you have some failed loaves. So what? It's not costing you a lot. You can afford to have a few failed loaves as you're learning along the way. And it's fun. You get to use your hands and it sort of slows you down. You are part of the process. And at the end, you have something that nourishes your body and nourishes your family and nourishes your friends. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So, fermentation fun, sourdough. The next episode that we do, we are going to be discussing fermented dairy.
I'm so excited.
It's not going to be sourdough made with dairy, even though I did mention that in this episode. It's going to be the primary ingredient is the dairy. Now, what form the dairy will be, that part is TBD. Okay.
Ooh, no spoilers.
Considering I'm researching, I've found a number of different possibilities that I might pursue. But the next one will focus on fermented dairy.
So excited.
Yes.
Very exciting.
All right.
Yeah.
Fermented fun part two of, I don't know, we started with a certain number and we've increased it. It's so I'm not saying how
least,
many.
It's going to be at least four episodes because I still have one more planned beyond the dairy one.
Yeah,
so it's going to be at least a four episode series. Who knows though?
We might just keep
ferment way more than four things.
Yes, you can.
So part two of fermented fun. And we had so much feedback on our first episode in the series. Yeah. Y'all just ate it up. So we want...
I've got to give a follow-up report.
I just made my second batch
of kraut.
Oh,
and this the first batch was delicious. However, I will say that a descriptor that was given along the way and was very accurate is the term pungent.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was delicious, but it was pungent. And I decided, I was like, I feel like I worked my way through the whole batch. It was great. But for the second batch, I thought, I'm going to make something less pungent this time. And so this time I chose to flavor my kraut again. I didn't just do a straight batch. The next batch I might make just a straight batch, no flavor, just cabbage and salt.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I added lemon zest and ginger.
Oh.
And it's pretty great. And I would not call it pungent. It's much more of a bright. I would say bright is a good term for it.
Wow.
It's delicious. I quite enjoy it. So just wanted to give a follow-up report on my kraut progress. So
from pungent to bright in a matter of weeks.
Bright.
I love it. Fabulous. Yes. All right. Well, ladies, we want to know even more of your thoughts. I know a lot of you bake sourdough. We want to know, are you experts? Mm. Did you learn something today? Mm-hmm. Are you going to actually us about something?
Can you teach us something, please?
Yes. Yes.
Please share all of that in the show notes. In the comments. We'll share the show notes. You share your comments on the episode in the Facebook group, Lutheran Ladies Lounge. I'll have some prompts up on our Instagram page as well. You can comment on there. You can follow us in both of those places. You can also find all of our episodes, including our previous Fermented Fun Part 1, on KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.